Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, and with me in the studio once again, Travis Korpening of CFCC's Nixon Male Minority Leaders and Kent Guyon of UNCW's Diversity Office. We're talking about diversity on campus in the Cape Fear region. If you have a question for our guests today, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also send an email to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. Kent Guyon, you are probably aware that UNCW's track program has suffered through a highly publicized struggle with funding, and supporters of track at UNCW say it's the most diverse athletic program at the school. Do you see it as important to preserve a program like this? And I should say, just by way of a quick update, WECT reported that the Save UNCW Track Facebook page says, as of yesterday, supporters raised almost $227,000. If the group comes within 10% of its goal at $250,000, the track and field program can stay at UNCW for the next school year. 10%, of course, would mean that supporters needed to raise $225,000, but there's no official announcement at this point.
Okay.
Kent Guyon.
So I will fess up to the fact that I was on track team from age 10 all the way through college. So track is one of those things that's really close to my heart. And you know, the circumstances here are, in general, with any elimination of an athletic program, it's just a nationwide, long-term scenario where, some interesting dynamics of finance, of Title IX legislation, of campus culture are all kind of clashing together. I remember the very first time that I actually was part of a program closing was actually back in the late 90s, and that was when I was at Georgia Southern University. So it's been something that's been going on for quite some time, and it is very unique to each campus, even though there is this overhauling of how we think about athletics in general. So the track team, I think, is a good example of how the community can rally around a cause. I think, different people got together, and it looks like the goal is going to be met, which I think is a great first step in preserving it.
Absolutely.
I would absolutely question the quality of the program moving forward, because that is as important as having it. So you want the student athletes to have a positive experience. You want them to understand that the student part of student athlete is really the critical part of that. And there, there is an element of diversity that's tagged to that. But again, I think it really has to be parsed out from those other issues so that you don't make closing of a program purely about diversity in and of itself or about race, but about the larger scope of what does it mean to have a quality program, what's the impact financially, what are the decisions, how are they made, and really what's in the best interest of our students. That's where I'll always fall, what's really in the best interest of our students.
Are you suggesting that the quality of the track program isn't where it needs to be?
Well, I was part of a track team. I was actually on track team at North Carolina State, and I think that there is an experience with athletics that if you are competing at a NCAA sanctioned level, you really should have the equipment, the coaching, the training, the competition. All of those areas really need to be carefully thought about. And I don't know a lot about the circumstances here, but I do know that there's some the second phase of Saving Track is some renovations. So, again, I think that speaks to the fact that it really is comprehensive, and those things need to be attended to as well.
You've said, Kent Guyon, that much of your initial work will be taking a look at the programs that are there, assessing current programs, what's working. What does that mean? Which programs will you be taking a look at?
So I think there are a number of ways to evaluate where a campus is currently in terms of diversity and inclusion. One area that's a really broad area is the campus culture or the campus climate, really seeing what the experience is like from the perspective of faculty, staff, and students in many different areas, because that's one of the dynamics that really plays out in how you experience your life on a campus. So that's one area. I think there's another area that looks at admission, progress, and graduation. And that's really sort of the ultimate outcome of college. And we want to be sure that we're doing what we need to in those areas as well. And I think Travis can really talk about how we do know that there are areas that where there are gaps, and we do need to ensure that we fill those gaps. I think the whole area of cultural competency, what are we doing there, and how does it impact the curriculum, and what experiences do students get in a formal way, and how are those evaluated? So that'll be another part that we look at very carefully, just to ensure that when our students do graduate, they are prepared. Again, I think that's becoming more and more an obligation of higher education in general. So, that's one of the areas, along with student progression, along with campus climate, and really, I think, along with policies and procedures, that will be part of that whole strategic look at how we're doing.
Travis Korpening with the Diversity Committee at Cape Fear Community College. First of all, who makes up that committee? How many people are on the committee, and who are they?
We currently have about six people. We ask for outside members as well. People are on campus that are interested in diversity. They definitely can come and join in on our meetings. What we're really focusing on is trying to figure out, creative ways of making this something that we focus on as a campus. And I think we're moving in a positive direction doing that. One of the efforts right now we have going on is our film series. Some of the films we've already shown, Dear White People. I don't know if you're familiar with that film. It's a funny name, but, tackles a lot of issues.
Tell us about that film. What's it about?
The film is really about a young woman who's biracial. She's on a college campus, and she really becomes is like her fire is actually about race, actually thrusts her into a leadership role on campus in terms of speaking for the Black community, and she has her own radio show. It's funny that I'm on one now, but she has her own radio show, and she. It's called Dear White People, and there's a host of issues the film tackles, from outside of race, from sexual orientation to stereotypes in general, and so I think that's one of the ways doing things of that nature, and I think that's one of the ways that we actually tackle this issue is from a formal level, but also from an informal level, opening up channels to allow people to talk about it honestly and, really get how they feel out so that someone can. I had a conversation with a friend of mine once that had no idea that African-American males, a lot of us don't, we don't use razors. I know this is something that sounds so trivial, but a lot of us don't use razors because of our hair texture, And so he worked in diversity. So for him, me telling him that, he was like, wow, you never know what you're going to learn about someone else. It sounds simple, but little things like that can make a difference in terms of knowledge and just having an experience with someone else.
And so when the diversity committee meets, it's
yes.
People representing not just different races, but
absolutely not.
Sexual orientation, people from different religions.
Yes, yes. We don't ask people their, sexual orientation or their, their religion before they join, but we make it open so that people can come and feel a part of the conversation.
And so this film series was part of what the Diversity Committee put forth.
Yes.
What are some of the other initiatives that the Diversity Committee is talking about doing on CFCC's campus?
We're working on developing a couple of resources for people on campus so that, you know, you can kind of find out where, for example, we're working on a webpage so that people can find out if they're interested in multicultural events on campus. We have a great international center, and you're interested in what the international center is doing. You can go to that webpage and kind of figure out, you know, what you would like to be involved with. Even in women's studies, they had their own film series. I mean, if you're interested in something of that nature, whatever avenue you decide you want to go to, or you might be interested in, we are planning to be that conduit. And moving forward to be that conduit so that you can find out those things on campus.
Kent Guyon from UNCW, in recognizing that your efforts on campus will have to be part of a broader community push, what are some of the organizations in the community that you plan to connect with?
You know, if I refer back to my prior experience, many of our committees would intentionally have members of K-12, members of nonprofit. We had a large military community in Augusta, so we would have members from the military community. We would interface with the mayor's office. And then just a number of groups that shared our same philosophical opinion about being more inclusive. But those were some of the stakeholders who were typically always at the table in the planning of our events and different things that we wanted to move forward in the community.
What is the faculty like at UNCW in terms of diverse representation? Are we talking about a mostly white faculty? And if so, is that one of the challenges that you'll be facing when it comes to expanding this initiative?
Sure. So the faculty has been mostly white for really since the genesis of the university, and it is one of the areas that I think there can be a lot of progress, because it's one of the areas that also attracts students, and it's an area that also leads to research and scholarship and different opportunities there as well. So those things all tie together. Students who can look to mentors who have similar interests is hugely important. I think if we all think back to some of our college experiences, there was probably an individual that really pulled us along and, you know, brought out the best in us. And many of our students are looking for those opportunities, and they find them quite often in the faculty.
What is cluster hiring? And is that a strategy that could be employed at either institution in service of greater inclusion?
Sure. So I've been involved with cluster hiring really on the side a bit. And it's when you look to build capacity in an area around a theme. And that's kind of what generates the cluster. When I was at Georgia Southern, we looked at the cluster of rural health and built a team of researchers, faculty members with that interest. And when you do that, you can leverage that theme as a way to attract individuals with like interest. And if you do it in an area that, has traditionally or currently has a fairly high number of minority faculty opportunities, you can grow the numbers that way.
And so in this case, then, you would look at hiring minorities? That would be the goal at UNCW?
Well, it's one of the strategies in which you can do that. So you can't really pick and choose where people have their interests. But you also know that public health has a greater diversity of professors than, let's say, computer science. So if you do cluster hiring in public health, your opportunities are just expanded to grow minority faculty members in that area. So it really is one of the strategies that has been used in different places as a way to attract and retain faculty members. And you have a cohort of like-minded professors who can help each other with their work. So that's the other benefit.
So we know that there is a part of the population out there, part of the white population, that probably isn't interested in diversity initiatives or greater inclusion. Traditionalists, people who perhaps haven't encountered some of the obstacles that some minorities have. And as author Tim Tyson from Duke University, I think, has said, fish don't know that they're wet. So what would you say to that group of people, the people who don't really even understand the need for a conversation like this? How would you invite them into this?
Well, I think I like that analogy, fish don't know that they're wet. I think you have to look at if you're interested in the community as a whole and the community being fair and the community being, open to difference, then I think you have to look at, you have to find any deficiency and try to address that. So, one of the things that I was watching, if you're familiar with CNN Black in America, one of the things they addressed, and I've seen it in studies, black male, just employment, black males with no jail time, getting hired less than white males with jail time. And so, you know, when you look, and those are, I'm not making it up, I have the studies for that. So when you talk about that, if you're really interested in trying to change the narrative in the community, and then you have to look at things like that and say, okay, what can we do as a community to kind of to turn it around?
Kent Guyon, just a few seconds left. Final thought?
You know, I think it's important for us to all try to think about how thoughts get in our heads. And if this is something that you're not a fan of, how did that thought get there? For me, a lot of what we do improves self-awareness, and it makes it better for everyone. So it's always a net sum gain.
That's this edition of Coastline. Thanks to our guests, Kent Guyon of UNCW and Travis Korpening of Cape Fear Community College. Thanks to you, our listeners. And join us for next week's Coastline when NPR political analyst Cokie Roberts joins us. We'll pre-record that show, so send in your questions or your fan mail early so we can include it in the show. The email address is coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.